All right, welcome back to KMBR tonight. Kerry Crowley hanging with you until 10 p.m., getting you set for the 49ers and the Packers. Coming to you from Lambeau Field on Saturday on the KMBR airwaves, and here to help us preview that matchup and talk much more 49ers football, Mark DeLucchi, freelance reporter for Niners Nation. Mark, thank you so much for joining us here tonight, and looking forward to this.
Hey, it's going to be a fun one. You know, the fact that I think everyone's sort of saying the fact that the Niners are still playing football makes it just, you know, so much more exciting to talk about where they're at.
Yeah, I'll ask you right off the top, I guess, a question that I've been asking all night on this show. Can we consider the 2021 49ers season a success now that they've made it to the divisional round, or considering their preseason expectations, which were fairly lofty, do they need to advance past the Packers and make it to the conference championship?
You know, I think that's a really interesting question because it gets at, you know, in many ways, and the Niners aren't necessarily the only team that we're seeing do this in the Bay right now, where, you know, the Niners were trying to thread this needle, right, to get the quarterback in the future of Trey Lance, but in what they believed was giving them the best chance to win this season by sticking with Jimmy Garoppolo. And so, to me, there are two ways. There's almost a binary to looking at this season. If Lance and the rookie quarterback isn't playing and isn't developing, then, to me, the only way to success is truly competing for a Super Bowl title. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, again, obviously, if they hadn't even made – if Lance had played all 17 games, but he hadn't – you know, the Niners even missed the playoffs, let's say. Let's say they did perform worse because of Lance. But you saw Lance develop, then that would be a success. The fact that they stuck with Garoppolo, I think, does kind of make it where, you know, it's not the kind of – you know, disappointment it would have been had they missed the playoffs or when they were 3-5 and it looked like things were collapsing, right? But I do think if they lose in the divisional round, it's still ultimately for me underwhelming. I think given the lows they were at various points this season, it's a good and a credit to Shanahan that he was able to help the team rebound from where they were. But I do think, you know, if they pull out this win against Green Bay, I think that is kind of the threshold for me where, you know, if they win this one, get to the NFC title game, whether or not they, you know, presumably they'll face Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, which would be a fantastic Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady showdown in the NFC title game. I'm sure the NFC would love to, or the NFL would love to see it. But, you know, I think that's one where, you know, if they lose the NFC title game, I think that's acceptable. And again, if they lose to Green Bay, I don't think Niners fans are too upset given how bad things got. But I also, like you said, the Niners were, I think, the fourth or fifth highest Vegas odds teams to win the Super Bowl this year, right? Like they were not just a, you know, a sleeper contender. They were a favorite. And the fact that they got off to such a sloppy start, especially in those, you know, weeks 3 to 7 range, is why I think people are happy to be where they are. But I also think it does make it a little underwhelming.
It is really interesting to think about. I mean, regardless of quarterback, whether it was going to be Jimmy Garoppolo or whether it was going to be Trey Lance, people were very high on this team because this roster kind of a wagon. I mean, there's stars all over the roster. Whether you go to left tackle, you've got a Hall of Famer in Trent Williams, you've got Debo Samuel, George Kittle. I mean, the list goes on and on. And then there's players who've developed over the course of the season in Elijah Mitchell to become big time players and big time moments for the 49ers. But you think back to 3-5, and I just go back to the types of conversations we were having, Mark, at that juncture of the season. It is remarkable to see how far the 49ers have come since then, because it felt like things were miserable, and it felt like they almost needed to turn the page and just install Trey Lance as the quarterback, and Kyle Shanahan stuck to his guns.
Yeah, and someone who was highly critical of Shanahan. And the one thing I said, even when I was at my most critical, even when I talked about that the Niners might have to consider making a change from him if they didn't right the ship, the one thing I said, though, was that throughout his tenure, one thing that the 49ers teams have always done under Shanahan is they've never quit. Even when he's had some bad teams, some teams that lack talent, some teams that started the season 0-10, and they still played hard through the last week of the season. And we saw that come in huge this season where they had the talent to be a contender. They should have been a contender all season long. And they were able to show that resilience with things on the line and ultimately get to where they are now.
Yeah, absolutely. So you look at this Saturday's matchup against the Green Bay Packers. This is a Green Bay team that came to Levi's Stadium, won 30-28 in week 3. But obviously a lot has changed for both sides since then. What do you think of the biggest changes on both sides, both for the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers, since that matchup?
I mean, the biggest one, I think, from just a visual standpoint is Deebo Samuel in the backfield for the Niners side of things, right? When you're seeing what they've done with him offensively. They played Green Bay before that had really become an integrated part of their offense, where essentially Deebo has turned into the backup running back, right? The second running back next to Elijah Mitchell, which is pretty much guaranteeing him 10 to 15 touches a game, even if he's not heavily involved on the passing side of things. But I think another thing to keep in mind is we're just talking about Ambry Thomas.
Yeah.
Talking about what his emergence, you know, you talk about the young players who have emerged, the young players who've developed. Talk about what an arc we have for not just Thomas, this entire 49ers secondary. Credit to defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans, credit to the front office here. And, you know, it looked ugly at many points, and it was veteran heavy and it was old, especially when Emmanuel Mosley got hurt after Verrett was already out. And there was a lot of pressure on the rookies, right? You saw D'Amador Lenore get some early playing time, have some flashes and struggle and end up being relegated to the bench. You know, Ambry Thomas couldn't even get on the field. He couldn't even suit up. And now Thomas looks like a viable starting caliber corner. And again, he's played fantastic these past few weeks. He's been huge. So, you know, I think for the Niners, you look at Deebo and Thomas as the two things where Green Bay is preparing for an entirely different thing. I think on the Packers side of things, the Packers were quite healthy early in the season and have gotten hit by injury since. And so, you know, tackle David Bakhtiari went out. I think he might have actually gotten hurt in their first game with the Niners, if I'm not mistaken. you know, Preston Smith has been out, several other key players. But now it looks like they actually might be trending to play again on Sunday. They might be ready to return. But this will be, for many of these players, their first game back in, if not months, weeks. And so I think the Packers have this interesting challenge of they may be getting a lot of this talent back, but there's no get-up game. There's no warm-up game. They're getting this. This is going to be the first game back. And so we're going to see if those players can live up to the talent, to the potential they've shown throughout their careers. It's an entirely different Packers roster versus, you know, when they first faced off earlier in the season, when they were just in the rhythm of the season going at it.
Yeah, I think that may be the most overlooked storyline of the week, Mark, because we tend to talk about all the players they're getting back and the Packers getting healthy, but reacclimating in the NFC divisional round when you haven't had a game for 2 weeks, that's got to be really difficult. And doing it in the cold, I don't care how long you've been in Green Bay, doing it in the cold is not easy to do. Chatting with Mark DeLucchi, you can follow him on Twitter at MadDeLucchi, 2 Ds. In that Twitter handle. Mark, looking at this 49ers team, it's been super compelling from a writing standpoint. There's been no shortage of storylines all season long. To you, what are the two or three most entertaining storylines you followed over the course of this 49ers season, all the way back from the preseason into this divisional round matchup against Green Bay?
And, you know, I think obviously, you know, Lance and Garoppolo has been the big one. And I think it's both frustrating, but also I think fans understand why it's been the driver of so much, because so much is around this quarterback position. The 49ers gave up so much to get Trey Lance in the first place. But I'll go in a different direction. I think, you know, for me, it actually has been this secondary, the evolution of a group that entering the year, you could see there were concerns about depth, but entering the year, you go, okay, Jason Verrett was elite last year. Emmanuel Mosley was very good last season. You know, Kaywan Williams has been solid in the slot, and now you've drafted, you got these rookies in Ambry Thomas and D'Amador Lenore that give you some depth there. And then Verrett goes down week one against the Lions, and then Mosley down the road gets hurt, and then the young guys don't seem up to the challenge. And now you got Josh Norman and Dre Kirkpatrick, and Dante Johnson is back, and it just seems like, oh, this is one of those where this is going to be the Niners season falls apart in the secondary. And just when they need it to, it steps up. And it's a combination of Mosley coming back healthy, Ambry Thomas emerging. And I think also two unheralded, you know, not necessarily stars, but deserve, I think, a stars celebration for this 49ers team in the safeties and what Jimmy Ward, yep, and Jaquaski Tartt do for this team. You know, I talk about in a lot of ways when I do these, you know, weekly recaps in Niners Nation, when I'm talking about the team, is like, you know, when they're playing great, you don't notice them, right? Because they don't, you know, Ward has notoriously bad hands, and you know, neither Tartt or Ward are necessarily generating huge turnovers. But what they do is give their corners, give the entire defense, give defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans so much flexibility to take chances, to be aggressive, because he knows he has those two back there. So I think to me, the biggest thing is just the story and the arc of the secondary going from something that, okay, this could be a strength to this could be what ends their season, and ultimately being a huge part of why this team is in the position they are right now and actually has a chance to go into Green Bay and beat the Packers. I think on the offensive side, it's sometimes the straightforward one is the simple one. It's Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
It's, you know, someone who was fantastic as a rookie, had a down year in his second season and came back. And, you know, I was talking about, you know, you're looking ahead to cap. It's like, okay, what's his extension going to look like? Or maybe he gets a Keenan Allen type deal or something like that. And now he comes in and just balls out. I mean, you know, if you're doing a draft right now, if you're trying to pick, you're building a team, Deebo Samuel's a top five receiver just because of the dynamic things he does for what your team, what your offense can do. You can use him in so many ways. Even if, again, you line him up, he's running routes, he may not be the, you know, one of the top five guys in doing that, although he's definitely up there. But he just has truly become such a unique talent and gotten to showcase it in such a special way. You know, this season has been, you know, one of the more impressive offensive seasons I've seen. It reminds me of 2019 when George Kittle was on another level, and you're just getting to see Deebo again, whether it's the run game, the pass game, and even last week throwing a pass. It's just been so exciting to kind of watch almost what feels like this like Heisman campaign,
yeah,
but being done at the NFL level.
Nope. The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It's a generational season. Like, we've never seen something quite like what Deebo Samuel is doing. He shot out of the gates to 1,000 yards as a receiver and then has just been extraordinarily valuable as a running back. A few more from Mark DeLucchi here, freelance reporter. You can catch his Niners work at NinersNation.com. Mark, in looking at this 49ers team, the big challenge this week, the secondary's been improved, but can it find a way to at least slow or contain Devontae Adams? What do you expect D'Amico Ryan's strategy to be against the all-pro wide receiver?
You know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, especially with, you know, Robert Saleh, you know, the previous defensive coordinator tended to be hesitant to have his cornerbacks track receivers, right? He tended, you know, especially when they had Richard Sherman, it's okay, Richard Sherman has one side of the field, the other cornerback, the other wide cornerback has the other. And it's going to be interesting. Does he challenge Emmanuel Mosley to follow, you know, to shadow Devontae Adams this week? Or does he say, and I know Ambry Thomas, to be fair, I think has been dealing with a little knee thing, and so he's been limited in practice. So we'll see how that plays into the game plan as well. And, you know, that could be a quiet thing that's not getting a lot of attention right now as the 49ers are focused, you know, people are focused on Nick Bosa. And after the game last week, it was Fred Warner going to be able to play? But Ambry Thomas has been limited in practice a bit too, so we'll see how that affects him. But, you know, I think Ambry Thomas is going to be targeted. And
yeah,
even if, you know, even if they try to switch the field to keep him away from Devontae Adams, you know, we saw early in the season, there was a point, and this was frankly true with Josh Norman, it wasn't just Thomas, but it seemed like early in games, because the 49ers run defense has been so on another level, especially these past 10, 12, 14 weeks, that teams would start the game with their balanced game plan, try to run the ball and just get stuffed. And then everyone watching, every 49ers fan was watching going, every time the other team runs the ball, it's a win for this defense. Because I get nervous every time they throw the ball that there's going to be a pass interference or there's going to be someone wide open. And then, you know, the Niners might get a little lead. We saw, you know, or even if it's just close, we saw this with Tennessee. We saw this a bit with Green Bay even at times where, you know, the first game with Green Bay, the defense was the reason the 49ers had a lead. Jimmy Garoppolo in the offense has two bad turnovers. The defense shuts Green Bay's offense down. They get a little lead, but the defense gets worn out. Green Bay goes, screw this. We're just going to let Aaron Rodgers throw deep. And the Niners couldn't really stop it. And so at some point on Sunday, you know, it's going to come down to, can the 49ers defense answer that call, and can the secondary do it one more time? And I think Ambry Thomas and Mosley and you know, the safeties I already talked about have shown that they can these past couple weeks, but can they do it in three consecutive games? Because they definitely rose to the challenge against the Rams, and they did it again against the Cowboys, but now they have it once again with the best quarterback they've played all season in Rodgers.
And it would be a heck of a testament to D'Amico Ryans if he's able to find a way to scheme up the Packers to limit Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And kind of on that subject, Mark, one of the elements of your work that I respect the most. You're so tied in on the coaching, whether it be in college or in the NFL. Like, do you see either D'Amico Ryans or Mike McDaniel being a really strong head coaching candidate at this juncture? I know that Ryans has interviewed with the Minnesota Vikings and McDaniel's a candidate to replace Brian Flores in Miami with the Dolphins. Do you see either of those two guys being a really strong head coaching candidate?
I don't think I see them on their own as of right now. I do think if, you know, we've seen two 49ers executives receive interview inquiries, Adam Peters, the assistant general manager, and Ren Carthon, the director of player personnel, have both received general manager inquiries. I think if one of them gets a job, Peters was interviewed by the Giants and they ultimately went in a different direction, hiring an executive away from the Bills instead. You know, I think if Peters gets the job with the Giants, I think immediately a McDaniel or a Ryans becomes a top candidate. I think if he'd gotten a job with the Giants, we may be talking about a potential trade that sends Jimmy Garoppolo to New York this offseason. And now that door is probably closed. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, because McDaniel, for better or worse, is in the shadow of Shanahan offensively, and in the sense of D'Amico Ryans, because this is his first year as a coordinator, even though it has truly been an incredible season. I mean, in his first season, he's a legitimate person I'd be considering for, you know, assistant coach of the year, given the injuries they've dealt with and all that he's done on his side of the ball. But I don't think that Ryans or McDaniels are someone that a team is going to isolate and say, we want this coach to come in. Now, again, I'm saying that from my perspective as an outsider. And anyone who knows anything about the NFL knows ultimately when it comes to head coaches, when it comes to GMs, when it comes to all these decisions, there's only one person who really matters, and that's the owner of the team with the open job. And there are owners who make good decisions. There are owners who make bad decisions. I don't think it would be a bad decision to hire McDaniels or Ryans per se, but what I say that to mean, all it takes is one owner who really gravitates towards Ryans or McDaniels in an interview, and all of a sudden, you know, all that goes out the window. I do think, though, in a vacuum, I think just because of their both limited experiences as top coordinators, they're probably not prime top candidates unless a 49ers executive does land one of these places, does end up somewhere where there's a GM and head coaching job and wants to bring McDaniels or Ryans along for the ride.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think it's one more year away for both of those coaches, but both could be head coaching candidates yet again in the next cycle. Hey, Mark, one more for you before we let you go. A prediction for Saturday's game, who wins and why?
I had the Packers 24-23. I think it's going to be close. I don't get why the 49ers are the underdogs they were. I think I've seen six and a half points. I'd be very surprised if the 49ers are blown out. I frankly would be very surprised if the Niners don't lead for a significant portion of this game. But the one thing is, Kyle Shanahan tends to get conservative when it comes to fourth and shorts. We saw it last week when he was willing to punt with 2 minutes to go. We saw him settle for some field goals when the offense was rolling. I think against a team like Green Bay, the 49ers are going to have to go for the jugular and hit it early. And I don't know if Shanahan is going to do that on those decisions. And I think that's going to leave the door open. And I think it might sadly be a story similar to their meeting earlier in the season where the Niners might play better. And again, it's going to be, I think the Niners are a difficult matchup for Green Bay. They could easily win, but I do think Rodgers ultimately gets it done in a close one.
And yeah, not necessarily what 49ers want to hear, but I cannot argue at all with your analysis. Always clear, always good. Mark DeLucchi, thank you so much for joining us here on KNBR tonight.
Thanks for having me anytime.
All right, that is going to be a theme this evening. We're going to ask everyone on this show their prediction for Saturday's game. Who you got, 49ers or the Packers at Lambeau Field? Cannot wait. Under 24 hours from finding out the outcome of Saturday's game, right around now, tomorrow night, we will know. Will the 49ers be advancing to the NFC Championship game to take on the Buccaneers or the Rams? Or will they be going home and Aaron Rodgers moving on? Much more to get to. Mike Wall, former All-Pro lineman for the Green Bay Packers, going to join us next, provide us the Green Bay perspective on this week's game. Later on in this show, Tracy Sandler, she covers the 49ers on a daily basis. She will join us. Then we've got our 9 o'clock hour replays. Steve Young, Matt Millen, so much to get to here on KNBR tonight. I'm Kerry Crowley, rolling with you until 10 p.m. I want to remind you, you're listening to KNBR and KNBR FM San Francisco, a Cumulus media station. KNBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.